Glyn Johns' work as a producer and engineer of the most seminal rock and roll records of his time not only contributed to an unsurpassed string of hits, but helped to define a sound of a generation. Many of the artists with whom he worked, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, the Who, Led Zeppelin, the Eagles, Eric Clapton, among many others, have stood the test of time and are considered classics of the genre. In his memoir, Sound Man, A Life Recording Hits, now out in paperback, Johns opens up about his life and career in the studio, contributing to the annals of music history and sharing anecdotes about the greats he worked with. It is a great pleasure to welcome Glyn Johns to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
No, it's my pleasure.
Very nice to have you here. The book is now out in paperback. When it came to originally deciding to write it, what was the impetus? What did you want to get out there?
Well, to be honest, the idea was to try and write about how the record industry has changed in the last 50 years. It was to be about that and the people that I met, the list of colorful characters that I met during the process of working in the industry in the past 50 years.
When you started the project of writing about this and looking at it, and especially when you were talking about the changing of the industry, how much have those changes directly impacted what you do and the talent?
Well, I think it's affected the way I work tremendously. Gone are the days of an established artist being left entirely to their own devices, I think.
Yes.
Which I was fortunate enough to live through the era when that happened. Record companies had very little to do with the making of or the supervision of the making of the records that I was involved with in the main. Nowadays, it's an entirely different thing. It seems that the great entrepreneurs of the industry of the 60s and 70s, the individuals who started independent labels, and who became very successful as a result. However, they were initially a one-man band, and it was that individual's taste as an impresario to sign talent and to steer it from a record company's point of view. That doesn't exist anymore either. All those smaller labels that were so interesting and had such fascinating characters running them have all been swallowed up into the rather monolithic few handful of labels that exist now. And therefore, there used to be a group of these guys that you actually had a relationship with and that you knew had your back, if you like, but now that doesn't exist at all. Most of the record companies now could be selling soap powder. There isn't really a great deal of input from a creative point of view at all.
So let's talk about that creative point of view. You write about in the book, just about one day in particular. It's February, it's 1969. You get off a flight from L.A. to London. You go to a studio to work with the Beatles on the album that would become Abbey Road. That's followed by an all-night session with the Rolling Stones for their album, Let It Bleed. You then rejoin the Beatles, and then you conclude your day by recording Jimi Hendrix live at Royal Albert Hall. Just using that day as a snapshot, what does that say of an importance of what you do as an engineer, a record producer, of guiding the musicians in creating this art, and also about what that time period was like for you that these artists who were at the peak of their career wanted you in that role?
Well, that's quite a difficult question to answer. The fact of the matter is, just if one is fortunate enough to have success with one artist, in my case, initially, we'll take the Rolling Stones, who I worked with from the early 60s right through for the next 15 years.
You were there the first time they went into the recording studio.
I was their engineer
for
15 years. That obviously gets you noticed by like-minded artists because of the success they had. And because of a lot to do with the sound that they were creating that I was hopefully capturing and delivering on the record. So I obviously met a lot of people through them, and it's success breeds success. If you know, I got asked to do the Beatles because they liked the work I'd done with probably with the Rolling Stones, et cetera, et cetera. And so one thing leads to another. And the job remains the same, other than the fact that obviously it's slightly different with each artist you work with. But obviously, people can judge me as an engineer specifically by the sound of the records that I was making. However, when I became a producer, I think it's far more difficult to judge a producer's worth by listening to the records, unless you've made a lot, which fortunately I have, and then there is a common thread, supposedly, through those records. However, from a production point of view, a lot of the artists that I've had the good fortune to work with have been very much involved in the production of their own records and needed very little input from me other than a grin and a nod of the head.
You do say in the book that there is a massive amount of psychology involved in what you do.
Yeah.
How so?
I'm never having worked in any other business. I can't imagine that it's really any different than most industries where you're dealing with individuals. To get the best out of somebody, that there's always an element of psychology, and obviously it's slightly heightened in a creative environment, particularly when the cosh is down and the artist has to deliver in what can be quite strange circumstances. I mean, a recording studio, it's not the same as being on stage where you have the audience in front of you reacting. It can be a pretty cold environment. And part of my job is to make it as warm as possible and as creative an environment as possible for the individual to operate in comfortably. And that will vary from one individual to another. No two personalities are the same, and no two people have the same requirements, which makes the job incredibly interesting.
You tell a story in the book of working with Eric Clapton where you're trying to get him to do something. You find that he's being lazy, so you decide just to tick him off so he will deliver a performance that is actually aggressive and sounds good.
Yes, I actually rather regret having done that. It wasn't my finest hour, but it did work. And it did get an astonishingly good solo out of him, I must say.
So what do you regret about that? I mean, if in the end it worked out...
Well, I regret that I had to seek to be unpleasant to somebody in order to get them to deliver
right.
something. I mean, that really is not perhaps the best way of going around it.
But that goes to the mental component that you were talking about of playing...
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
When
you think of the... Because you talk a lot in the book about repertoire and working with the artists on their repertoire. What do you think of as your repertoire now of looking back over these decades of what you have accomplished, what you've achieved, and what you're ultimately able to say, this is my mark and this is what I have done in rock and roll history?
I have to tell you that I don't think of it like that at all. The way I think of it is that I've been incredibly fortunate to be able to be in a creative situation with such astonishing talent, and without them, I'd have been digging a ditch somewhere.
Sure,
I try as best I can to state that in the book. Really, the obviously I'm terribly proud of what I've done, and but equally, if I hadn't have been there, someone else would have been doing the job, and I'm sure that the success of the artist would have been identical.
You believe that? You don't think that the success would be the same if you weren't there? You don't take credit for of an album that succeeded or a moment that succeeded in the studio?
Well, no, I don't think it's my place to do that. My job is to facilitate. Is to facilitate the artist. Of course, that there have been occasions where I've contributed more than that, it's impossible to judge
sure.
to what extent I made any record I've made more successful or not. Certainly, sonically, I've been able to represent what people are doing as an engineer pretty well, and the artists involved very often have come to me for that reason. But I still... As I say, I'm proud of my body of work, but more than anything, I don't. A lot of people, as a result of the book, have been extremely kind about my contribution to the industry and the records that I've made and so on. And it's wonderful to hear that. But the way I feel about it is that I've had a tremendous amount of good fortune to have worked with the people I have, and while I've contributed in a small way, nothing like to the extent that they have. And that it's that to them that the accolade should be given, really.
Yes. No, I understand. Meanwhile, you have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you are getting those accolades, even as a result of writing this book and talking about the role that you had. So you make the point in the book that this is something that you love making records, and that's something that is never going to change.
Well, yeah, I mean, how lucky can anybody be doing a job that you absolutely love? Not many people on the planet have that alone, never mind about anything else, and to have made a reasonably good living out of it as well is an extra bonus. Obviously, it's had its challenges. It hasn't all been roses. There have been occasions where things haven't gone as well as they might. But in the main, it's been an extraordinary environment in which to work. And I, as I say in the book, I've come across some pretty extraordinary individuals, not just artists, but other aspects of the music business. Which was really, really interesting. Possibly if I'd gone into another industry, the same thing would have happened. But certainly, I've had a pretty good road, and I feel very grateful that I was able to do it. It all happened by a mistake in the first place. It wasn't like I planned anything. So I feel very fortunate. I've had a great time, and I'm very proud of what I've done, yeah.
Glyn Johns' new memoir is Sound Man, a life recording hits with the Rolling Stones, The Who, Led Zeppelin, The Eagles, Eric Clapton, The Faces. It is published by Plume. Glyn Johns, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for spending time with us.
Well, thank you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.